No one can keep a secret forever. Fireman Bill Delaney and his beautiful wife, Deborah, are the pride of their quiet community.
It looked like life had finally delivered their true love story to each of them.
Until a strange disappearance sparks a desperate search.
When you're in that position, you wonder, will I ever see her again? Will I ever know? I just want to know.
And a suburban fairy tale goes up in flames.
If you can't satisfy me, I'm gonna have to find someone who can.
All marriages have secrets. And even in the most suburban, normal homes, we never know what happens behind closed doors.
Every investigation that comes across my desk, we know there's gonna be secrets.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's spring 2011 in Peoria, Arizona, and Bill and Deborah Delaney are the picture of happiness.
Bill and Deborah had a very quiet, normal, suburban, all-American life in Peoria.
Bill has just retired after serving more than 20 years as a paramedic and fireman in town. And Deborah is looking forward to finally getting her husband all to herself.
Deborah was an attractive woman. She would walk into a room and people would recognize her as a beautiful girl.
Bill was an all-American hero. He was a firefighter and a veteran of the military and a stand-up guy and a family man.
It's a good picture. It's right after we first met.
You're so handsome.
Deborah and Bill met in 2002. A couple of divorcees looking for love the second time around.
When my mom met William Delaney, yes, she was swept off her feet. He made her feel extremely loved and extremely cared for.
Their instant chemistry immediately exploded into a hot, fiery romance. Deborah and Bill couldn't keep their hands off each other.
She moved in shortly after they started dating, and they were married within a few months of actually meeting.
How are you doing?
For Deborah, the only thing missing from her new picture-perfect life is her two children, who've both moved overseas.
Even though her children lived far away, Deborah was very close with her children and was like a best friend to her daughter.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I wish I was there to see that.
Yeah, it's beautiful over here.
Deborah and her daughter talked almost every week for hours at a time, and they told each other everything. It was a very tight relationship.
I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, I love you.
Bill provides Deborah with more than just love and companionship. Shortly after they married, she was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, a mysterious disease that causes excruciating nerve pain. Luckily, Bill, a former paramedic, is there to help.
He would tell her what medication she was supposed to be taking and when to take it. He was always assisting her in which vitamins to take or which medications that she should take at what time.
Despite Deborah's health problems, the Delaneys seem to have a bright future ahead of them. But on Easter Sunday 2011, all of their dreams go up in smoke. Deborah's daughter calls to wish her mother a happy holiday, but gets no answer.
My mom and I would keep in touch. We'd call each other, I think, several days a week, at least. The last time I spoke to my mom, she was like, well, no matter what happens, I'll talk to you by Easter.
Days go by, but she still can't reach her mother or Bill. So Deborah's daughter calls police.
If someone can just go over and check up on her and make sure everything's all right, I would really appreciate it.
When the police arrive at the Delaney's, they find Bill in a despondent, disheveled, depressed mood.
Bill, we received a call from your wife's family. Any idea where she could be?
No, I don't know.
Bill says Deborah has been acting increasingly erratic lately, and her strange behavior has culminated in something shocking.
I mean, I came home a few days ago, and she left this letter.
Deborah wrote him an incredibly explicit Dear John letter.
Bill, I'm leaving you. You don't clean the house right. You don't do anything right. You can't even screw me the way I need to be screwed. I met a new guy who knows I'm a queen, and it's all about me.
The letter didn't just say, I've left you. It wasn't a goodbye. It was an attack on his manhood, that she had actually fallen in love and run off.
But the typewritten letter doesn't just stop with Bill. Deborah says she's leaving her entire family behind.
You and the kids are in the same boat as my birth mother. You are all out of my life for good.
This was a letter of condemnation on Bill. It stated that she had found a new man and that she didn't want to have anything more to do with him. So it was a pretty nasty, mean-spirited, see you later, see you never letter.
When the police ask Bill if he knew his wife was seeing someone else, he breaks down and reveals a humiliating secret.
She and I, we had an agreement. I'm impotent.
A minor stroke earlier in the year has rendered Bill impotent. He's been unable to be physically intimate with his wife ever since.
This is awful! I can't live like this! I have needs too! Bill, look at me!
And that's put a huge strain on their marriage, because Deborah has insatiable carnal needs. Bill only saw one solution.
Come on, Aunt, help me out here!
Fine, do it!
He gave her permission, as you will, to obtain a boyfriend so that she could be satisfied. And he encouraged this seeking out of another individual for her pleasure.
Deborah took him up on the offer, but things didn't go the way Bill planned.
His wife's relationship with this other man got way more intense, way more hot and heavy, and she left him for this other man.
Police ask Bill where they can find Deborah's lover. But Bill says he has no idea who this other man is.
I don't know his name. I have no idea.
He was unable to give us a name, a location of where this guy lived, a phone number, or anything that might help us identify this person to find out if Deborah was in fact with this guy.
That's because although Bill had encouraged Deborah to seek out a lover, he insisted on two conditions. One, her affair must be kept secret from everyone. And two, Bill didn't want to know any details.
I wanted this to be a secret. I didn't want anyone to know what was going on.
With Bill's stellar reputation as a former firefighter, police have no reason to doubt his tale of heartbreak.
I think when the patrol officers originally went over there and they found out that Bill was a firefighter, I think there was a little bit of sympathy there. Generally, not only just police officers, but the general public want to believe that a firefighter is somebody that you can trust. And when a firefighter tells you, my wife left me, why would the patrol officer question that? You know, what would be at that point when you first meet him, he's a firefighter, and he says his wife just left him, why wouldn't he believe him? He had no reason not to believe him at that point, and maybe even feel sorry for him.
But when they tell Deborah's family, they can't believe what they're hearing.
No, there's something going on here that is absolutely not in her character whatsoever.
It didn't look like something she could ever do. She wouldn't walk away. She would definitely contact me or my grandmother. It just didn't feel right.
They were almost sure that this wasn't in Deborah's character, that it couldn't be true.
But police know this wouldn't be the first time someone kept a secret from those closest to them.
Spouses leave each other all the time, of course, so there was no reason to believe that this case was anything other than that.
Deborah was a very attractive lady. She should not have had any difficulty finding another man, and certainly one who was going to be able to take care of her more appropriately and physically, whatever it might be.
Before they can close their missing person case, police must track Deborah Delaney down and confirm she's all right. But the search to uncover what's been going on between the sheets is about to reveal more than anyone bargained for.
Everybody's got secrets, and people will go to very great lengths to make sure that those secrets don't get out.
Police in Peoria, Arizona are looking for Deborah Delaney and the mysterious lover from her Dear John letter to her husband, Bill. But Deborah's family tells police if she's having an affair, they don't know who this mysterious man could be.
My mom never mentioned anything about getting divorced, never mentioned to me anything about leaving him. I don't think that she ever planned to do something like that.
Family members are always confident that they know everything about their children or their parents or brothers or sisters. And there's always surprises. There's always secrets among family members.
With no obvious leads, Deborah Delaney's new lover could be anyone. So how will investigators track him down? They start by digging deeper into her private communications, looking for any steamy messages to the lover she boasts about in her Dear John letter. But they find no love letters, no phone calls, no emails, nothing that points to her lover's identity. That could be deliberate.
Small towns are gossipy and people talk. So it made sense that Deborah was trying to cover up, that she would run away with a mystery man from the wagging tongues of nosy neighbors. And she didn't want people talking about what she did in bed.
If Deborah's left town with this other lover, detectives know there must be evidence somewhere of the new life she started. So they search federal and state databases looking for a trail.
These days, people don't go off the grid without leaving some trace of where they're at. Detectives start searching her phone records, her bank accounts, her credit cards.
Everybody leaves an electronic trail. Do we have Facebook posts? Do we have Twitter posts? Do we have cell phone activity?
But if Deborah started a new life with a new man, she's kept her end of the bargain by keeping it secret. There's been zero activity on all of Deborah's accounts for more than 5 days. Detectives seem to be at a dead end until Bill Delaney divulges another painful secret.
I think she was abusing her medication and taking too much.
He says Deborah's use of drugs to combat her illness may have crossed over the line from treatment to addiction.
When people get to a point where they don't need the pain medication anymore to reduce the pain, they become chemically dependent. And then they have a hard time getting off of the pain medication.
It's common for drug addictions to develop out of prescribed drugs. So the police thought there was a legitimate concern that her use of drugs had some impact on her disappearance.
Bill suggests that Deborah wasn't just abusing her pain medications. She and her new boyfriend may have also started branching out into other illegal drugs.
Bill accused Deborah of getting into heavy drugs, cocaine, and maybe running away with her boyfriend, and that maybe she had fallen into a bad crowd to support her drug habit.
If Deborah's been spiraling out of control with drugs, it could explain her sudden erratic behavior and the uncharacteristic Dear John letter. Detectives theorize that if Deborah is addicted to illegal drugs or her pain medication, it's likely she'd try to obtain more. So they question the missing woman's pharmacist, but they quickly hit a surprising dead end.
They were all non-narcotic drugs. There was would have been no way for her to have become addicted to them.
She was taking mostly non-narcotic because she did not want to have that issue. We learned that she was fairly adamantly against that sort of thing, and her prescriptions reflected that.
Deborah couldn't possibly have become addicted to her medication.
Once police realized that she hadn't fallen prey to drug addiction, they have to go back to the beginning, back to the drawing board. But there is no clue whatsoever as to her whereabouts. She's there one day and gone the next.
Even more surprisingly, Deborah hasn't filled any of her prescriptions anywhere in the country since she's gone missing.
I've checked our system and she has not filled the prescription elsewhere.
But even if she hadn't been abusing her medications, a woman with a chronic medical condition would still need to fill her prescriptions. She might be in more danger without her meds than with them.
People don't disappear without a trace. And when someone vanishes into thin air, it raises the question, are they alive?
Family, friends, and investigators can only speculate about where Deborah has gone.
When you're in that position and at that moment, you know, you wonder, will I ever see her again? Will I ever know? I just want to know.
Suddenly, detectives have more questions than answers. Is there really a mysterious lover out there hiding in the shadows? What's the secret behind Deborah Delaney's disappearance? And who's keeping it? Detectives delve deeper into the Delaney's lives and discover such twisted secrets hiding beneath their seemingly perfect facade that it changes everything.
I think there were a lot of secrets in this marriage. A lot of the secrets didn't come out until well into the investigation.
Deborah Delaney, a beautiful housewife from suburban Phoenix, has vanished without a trace. Detectives haven't been able to track down the lover mentioned in the Dear John letter she left for her husband. So police turn to Deborah's mother and ask if there have been any signs of trouble between the seemingly happy couple. Deborah's mother turns over another shocking letter. This one, written by Deborah herself several years ago.
I didn't know what to do with it. I hope this can help the investigation.
It reveals a very different side to her husband, Bill, the local hero.
When you actually read the content of the letter, Deborah mentions about Bill being into the dark side and goes into greater detail of things that he likes to do in the bedroom.
It seems this firefighter has some extreme sexual fetishes.
He enjoyed dressing up in women's clothing, women's underwear, and having Deborah perform certain acts on him.
He tried to make my mom do things that sexually she never wanted to do. He wanted her to go swinging with him. He didn't care if he degraded her.
Bill had a lot of secret desires, and he had a lot of things that he liked to do that I think your everyday household would be shocked by.
The letter's lurid details of a secret sex life are stunning. Could the cross-dressing firefighter have done something to his wife to keep his fetish from going public?
You know, these types of acts are not illegal, but is it something that a 25-year veteran firefighter wants to get out to his buddies at the firehouse? Probably not.
As detectives read on, they discover that Bill's penchant for wearing panties isn't the most shocking skeleton in his closet. It seems he's also running a secret scam that could really get him into hot water with authorities.
In addition to Bill's kinky fetishes, he was also hiding Social Security fraud. His mother had died several years before, but he was still cashing her Social Security checks.
The Social Security crime and the scam that he was doing is definitely something he'd want to keep secret. He probably confided in Deborah and told her about it.
It's fraud!
Well, yeah, but who cares?
And then if she had threatened to expose him on it, it put her in danger.
I'm gonna tell everyone what you do.
You do not say a word to anybody.
Even small-time Social Security fraud is a federal offense. It's a secret that wouldn't just cost Bill his upstanding reputation in the community, like his sexual fetishes might. This secret could cost him his freedom.
For a man who looked like an all-American firefighter and paramedic, he was hiding some really dark secrets. This could have put him in jail. He had everything to lose.
It's still possible Deborah ran off with a lover. After all, Bill had seemingly set himself up for that by giving her the green light to cheat. But police wonder if she had threatened to expose Bill's bedroom desires or his fraud.
The entire world will know all about your dirty little secrets.
You don't say a word to anyone. You hear me? Not a thing!
Could he have resorted to murder to keep his secrets from coming to light?
If he's able to commit fraud, theft, and lie, it's not hard to believe that he's also able to commit murder.
Don't even talk like that! You know what I'm capable of!
With no evidence that the lover Deborah has permission to be with even exists, detectives decide it's time to take a closer look at her husband, Bill. On a hunch, police subpoena the former paramedic's medical records from the fire department. And what they find upends the entire investigation. It seems Bill Delaney isn't impotent after all.
He was taking a male enhancement drug and also taking testosterone as well. We believe that close to the time Deborah disappeared, that he was able to function sexually.
The fact that Bill said he couldn't perform sexually anymore, yet his medical records showed that he was taking medication to assist him with that, was a red flag.
Police have Deborah's Dear John letter analyzed by experts and discover Bill's been lying about that, too. It seems he most likely wrote it himself.
When we looked at a lot of the writings from Bill's Facebook page and compared them to the content, the grammar, kind of the style of writing to that of the letter that was supposedly left by Deborah, they matched almost identically.
The former firefighter and paramedic is a local hero, a man seemingly above suspicion. But it seems clear to police that he's hiding something more than his sexual secrets.
If he's faking the Dear John letter, detectives start to get very suspicious of what else he has to hide and what maybe he had done with Deborah.
The ongoing search for Deborah Delaney has yielded no results. Police begin to fear there is no secret lover and that Deborah is not just missing, but dead. And with two solid motives, Bill is quickly becoming the prime suspect in his wife's potential murder. But with no body and no evidence of foul play, detectives are unable to prove their suspicions.
We didn't have a crime scene. We didn't have her body. When you have a body, you can normally tell how the body died. Gunshot wound, stabbing, suffocation, strangulation, broken bones. You can then paint a picture as to where it occurred.
We didn't have any of that in this case. We didn't have any physical evidence at this point.
Just when hope of cracking the case seems lost, investigators learn Bill has even more secrets he's desperate to keep. Secrets that may add up to murder.
When people keep deep, dark, horrid secrets, they do it just for one reason and one reason only, to protect themselves.
To his small suburban community, William Delaney is a decorated local hero who risked his life as a firefighter and paramedic to save others. But he's also hiding sexual secrets that could prove embarrassing. And now police are beginning to think he could also be a killer. Unfortunately, they have no evidence backing that theory. But then, just a week after his wife's disappearance, Bill does something to rouse even more suspicion.
Right after Deborah went missing, Bill seemed to move on with his life. He canceled her cell phone, he got her off of the insurance, and he started selling his house, which was very odd.
It almost seemed like there was a plan in place.
Detectives wonder how Bill can even legally sell the house without his wife's signature. She hasn't been declared dead. She's still only missing. A search of the Delaney's financial records turns up a shocking revelation. Shortly before Deborah disappeared, the couple created a living trust that placed all their assets in Bill's name.
Bill and Deborah owned this house together, and investigators discovered that she had been taken off the home and he could sell it on his own.
He had Deborah sign a trust transferring the property over to him solely.
I need you to sign something, okay? I just made a few changes to the trust. I just need your signature.
Deborah's family swears that she would never have signed over everything to Bill.
A month before my mom went missing, my mom and I were on the phone, and she told me that Bill wants to write up a living trust.
Okay, I mean, if you say it's not a big deal.
I did not know that he had cut us off as beneficiaries. I was quite shocked.
The timing of it all is highly suspicious. The living trust was signed just weeks before Deborah's disappearance. Detectives are now more concerned than ever that Deborah Delaney may be dead. The victim of a sinister plot hatched by her husband.
We did all of the traditional law enforcement methods of trying to find somebody that we have access to. And there was no sign of her.
But if Deborah's dead, where's her body? And what's Bill's motive? If he killed Deborah to keep her quiet about his sexual fetishes or the Social Security fraud, That sounds to police more like a heat-of-the-moment decision that would most likely have stemmed from an argument.
It is a big
it's
deal!
It's not a big deal.
It's illegal!
Well, don't tell anyone about it and then we'll be fine!
And it seems unlikely he could have gotten her to sign over all their assets if she wanted out of their marriage.
He was thinking about doing this, and when it actually occurred, he had all these things in place that he was going to do right after she was gone.
Detectives probe deeper into Bill's background, looking for a motive for premeditated murder that fits with the facts. And they uncover yet another startling secret. Bill's entire relationship with Deborah was built on a lie.
Bill had told Deborah that she was wife number two. When investigators looked back into his history, however, they find that Deborah was not wife number two, nor was she wife number three. She was actually number four.
Even more troubling, police learn that if Deborah is dead, she wouldn't be the first of Bill's wives to die under suspicious circumstances. Bill's third wife, Jamie, was found dead inside their garage with the car running and an open bottle of pills next to her. An apparent suicide. That case now deserves a second look.
But as we look at that case, we certainly had questions as to how she died and whether it was, in fact, a suicide.
He was familiar with the medication, and certainly given his background as a paramedic, would have known how to make something look like a suicide, especially by carbon monoxide poisoning or some kind of drug overdose.
Police also see another alarming coincidence all of Bill's wives share. The length of their marriages.
I was noticing a pattern with Bill's previous wives that as soon as they got toward the 10-year mark, either they would end in divorce.
I'm leaving you. I am out of this marriage.
Or an unfortunate accident would happen.
And police think they know why.
I'm tired of your lies and your secrets.
Bill Delaney's second marriage ended in divorce.
And I'm going to take all of the money as well.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you don't touch my money.
Have you ever heard of alimony, all right?
And after 10 years together, the law entitled her to half of all Bill's assets, crippling him financially.
Bill learned that divorces cost money, and those divorces are going to impact the rest of his life financially.
Police are beginning to see an evil pattern emerging with Bill and his wives.
I'm not afraid of you. I know what I'm entitled to.
Wife number three died just months away from their 10th wedding anniversary. And at the time Deborah disappeared, she and Bill had been married for more than 9 years.
I did find that a little strange, and it was chilling that something's gonna happen at that 10-year mark.
Want out of this marriage.
No, you're not getting out of this marriage, okay? You're stuck. Don't even talk like that! You know what I'm capable of!
If either Bill's third wife, Jamie, or his fourth, Deborah, had divorced him after 10 years of marriage, it would have left him destitute. Police believe Bill killed Deborah not only to conceal his secret sexual fetishes and his fraud, but also to preserve his bank account.
It always fascinates me that some men would rather commit murder than write a check.
Bill was a sociopath. He just disposed of his families and his ex-wives whenever they no longer fit his needs.
I think Bill Delaney exhibits some serial killer behavior. His victims are people that are close to him. His victims are his wives.
Even more distressing, police learn that Bill may have already started looking for wife number five.
Within a month and a half, we learned that Bill was now keeping company with another woman.
to know that he's on the loose, trying to squirm his way into somebody else's life, it was scary. He had found his next victim.
If police, in fact, have a serial killer on their hands, they need to stop him before he strikes again. But without proof, there can be no arrest, and time is rapidly running out.
At this point, police are getting very anxious. He's a very dangerous man, and they don't know what he'll do next.
Detectives are increasingly concerned that former fireman and paramedic Bill Delaney is a cold-blooded killer who murdered his wife, Deborah, and possibly one of his previous wives as well.
Bill Delaney was really living a secret double life, and he had gone decades keeping these secrets from everyone. The public viewed him as a well-respected fireman, and in truth, he had a lot of perversions. He was hiding all this background with his wives and the secrets that he kept in his marriages.
But they can't simply arrest him. There's no body and no proof a murder's been committed.
You can prosecute murder without a body. But you have to have some other evidence that in this case, there was none.
The only thing police have on Bill is the Social Security fraud, and that's out of their jurisdiction.
It's a federal crime and, you know, would be investigated usually by Social Security Administration or the IRS.
And even more troubling, Bill has a new girlfriend. One police fear could become a new victim if she uncovers his secrets. The clock is ticking.
At this point, police are getting very anxious. He's a very dangerous man, and they don't know what he'll do next.
Detectives can't wait for a smoking gun any longer. They bring Bill in for questioning. It's a long shot, but they want to see if they can get him to slip up and confess to murdering Deborah.
I want to find her just as much as you do. Of course, I do not know where she is.
Bill would continually tell us, I don't want to talk to you guys, I have an attorney, but he couldn't help himself. And he spoke to investigators at length, providing more outlandish claims as far as what could have happened to her.
She might be in Florida. She might be in, I don't know, New Mexico.
That he didn't kill her and he didn't know what happened to her.
Bill swears he had nothing to do with his wife's disappearance.
You need to tell us what we need to know. You need to tell us the truth.
But when detectives turn up the heat, the firefighter begins to sweat.
We told him that we knew about his deviant sexual behaviors and tastes. He admitted that.
That's our business. That was our private business. It wasn't illegal. I didn't hurt her.
Then there's that Dear John letter supposedly written by Deborah.
And he even admitted that he may have manipulated the note in some manner and changed it.
That's it. I have nothing else to hide. I don't know where my wife is.
Bill swears he's all out of secrets.
How long have I been? I've been here for hours. I've told you everything I know.
But the interrogation is clearly starting to get to him.
He knew, we knew, and that we had figured it out and that we weren't going to allow him to go.
Please do not think that you're going to get away with this, because you won't.
I think when we left that day, one of the detectives told Bill as we were leaving, it's the next time we see you, Bill, we're coming up here to put handcuffs on you for killing your wife.
It's going to be an uphill battle for police. Without a confession or a body, their only chance is to build a circumstantial case against Bill Delaney and hope it's enough to convince a jury he murdered his wife in order to cover up his secrets.
They're difficult cases to prosecute. So police are waiting for one big lead. They're waiting for one more piece of circumstantial evidence that might put them over the top.
Detectives have been interviewing family, friends, and former co-workers looking for anything that could potentially tighten the noose around Bill's neck. And finally, they get a break when several firefighters come forward with a strange story that happened just days before Deborah disappeared.
We interviewed a couple of firefighters who said they came over to his house and helped him load a trunk into the back of his Jeep. They said they didn't know what was in that trunk, they just helped him load it into there.
Police are now sure they know what happened to Deborah Delaney. She left the house in that trunk and was put there by her paramedic husband, Bill.
The night of April 18th, after the phone call with Soraya, he most likely drugged her or suffocated her or did something.
He probably removed that body from that home and dumped her body in the middle of the desert.
With their carefully constructed theory in hand, detectives and the district attorney are certain they now have enough to convince a jury that Bill Delaney committed murder. But there's one final shocking turn in the case.
The police have built their case. The prosecutors are confident. They're days away from filing murder charges against Bill, and none of them could have expected what would happen next.
It seems the revered town hero isn't willing to face justice.
Detective Bowie and I were working down here at our desks when we got the phone call that Bill had shot himself.
I was pissed because I wanted to get Bill Delaney in a courtroom. I wanted to expose what he had done to Deborah, that everything in his life was built on a lie.
I feel like he killed himself to take everything he'd ever done with him, to hide the truth and the fact that he selfishly took it from us. I mean, he could have said something at the end, and he didn't.
It seems this community hero was too much of a coward to ever face his dirty secrets out in the open.
When you murder somebody and that's the only person that knows these secrets, they go to the grave with her and nobody's ever gonna tell.
Two years after her disappearance, Deborah's body is discovered in the Arizona desert. It's impossible to determine a cause of death. She thought she had found the perfect partner to enjoy her life with. What she didn't realize was that this cruel firefighter was only interested in rescuing one person, himself.
I'm really happy that, you know, everything has been revealed just because it might help save somebody else's life.